Malka.
Good evening.
Good evening.
You're the first.
Oh, no.
Good evening.
Good evening.
We can begin.
Okay, I have to get back to the other room. I was cooking, so I had to make sure I turned it off. Okay.
We are, this is from the deeper Zohar class with the Sulam commentary on the Zohar from Parashat Vayera, Pasuk 121, and we'll start with L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kutcha barichu ishkinte bidhilu urchimu utkilu utkilu urchimu. Le'achta l'shem yudhe bavavhe. The Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, Lasok Torah Mitzvah, Vayhino Amadunai Elohinu Eleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kananei Eleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kananeihu. Amar Rabbi Pinchas Zimna Fada Hawena Azle Be'archa We'arait Peya be'eliyahu amina leya lema li mar mila temale livriata amar lo kayam kazar kuchabrihu bealu hutkameya kol ilain malakaya Dimanan Lead Karahove Tevarnash Bibidna Teid Kirun Benea Enasha Karbanaya Demane Moshe Wishaweli Bea Urutea Behold the call, O Yid Kirun Le'alitav. The translation. Rabbi Pinchas then said, once while I was walking, I met Elijah and said to him, Sir, may you say to me something for the well-being of the people. He said to me, the Holy One, blessed be He, signed a covenant with this provision. If the angels who report the transgressions of man enter His presence, while human beings simultaneously recite the sacrificial offerings that Moses commanded and say them with full intention and with all their hearts, then all the angels will mention their names for good. My commentary. This pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. This applies to the Brit Milah, yet it takes intuition to know the appropriate time. Questions, comments, thoughts.
I just think it's a wonderful secret revealed.
It is, absolutely.
I guess the appropriate times is that the three times that the males had to go up to Jerusalem.
Yes, that's true. Three times a year. But
wow.
This is saying anytime.
Okay. So why do they mention appropriate times? Is it like the time of the day, certain times of the day? It'd be midnight. It'd be, you know, when the Amidah said three times a day. Or
that's what I took it to mean, that it was talking about the Amidah.
You broke up, Hannah. Say it again, and I'll address what Malka asked.
Okay, well, I thought it was referring to the Amidah.
The Holy One, blessed be He, signed a covenant with this provision. If the angels who report the transgressions of man enter the presence of the Holy One, His presence, while human beings simultaneously recite the sacrificial offerings that Moses commanded, the sacrificial offerings are recited daily, three times. But you have minions, not now because of the virus, but in normal times, you have three times that the sacrificial offerings are recited. Hannah mentioned it yesterday, that maybe we should add the sacrificial offerings to the saying of the Ketoret. And I said it's really we should, but I don't do it because of time considerations. But the sacrificial offerings is part of the morning prayers, and then it's part of the afternoon prayers. And in the morning, we say the sacrificial offerings three times. We say it twice, I mean. We say it in the morning before the call to prayer, the Baruch Hu, and then we say it before the Shacharit, the morning prayer ends. But we need to know when to say that, because it relates to the time that the angels are addressing Hashem, reporting what they found when they go and search out the negative actions that people have done. And that's why my comment says we need to have intuition as to when that time is. If you're praying by yourself and you do these sacrificial offerings the three times during the day and you use your intuition, you'll say them at the appropriate time when the angels are reporting to Hashem on the negative actions. And if that happens, where you say the sacrificial offerings at the time the angel is reporting, he can't report negative deeds. He can only describe them as positive. That's the agreement. That's the covenant. That's the provision of within the Brit.
Well, I thought that also happened when we recited the 13 attributes after a transgression.
When you recite the 13 attributes of mercy after the transgression, Hashem has said He will forgive us. We are activating His attribute of mercy. But this is something very different. The description of the sacrificial offerings is a form of judgment.
Mm-hmm. So if you have a minion, let's just say in anywhere in the world, you have a minion and you're saying that before the morning prayer and again before the evening, again before the prayer ends, twice. So with the minion, when do they actually say it? What time of the day or what part of the day? I mean, they must have some kind of time frame that they say this. And I don't know when a minion would start their morning prayer.
There are minions that start at the moment when the sun rises above the horizon. That's called the time of nets. They have minions that start every half hour in certain synagogues from the time of nets until 11 a.m. You have minions that start every minute. If you look at if a minion is called for starting at 9 a.m., sometimes it's 9:01, sometimes it's 9:03. The sacrificial offerings takes 3-4 minutes at most to say. With Kavanah, it can be lengthened out. But the issue is the practical standpoint. Minions are done all over the world. It's like the old adage about the British Empire. The sun never sets on the British Empire. Minions are going on 24 hours a day somewhere in the world. But when are the angels entering to report the negative actions of human beings?
We don't know. We don't know here in the physical world.
They travel around and look and report on those deeds primarily at night when you're sleeping, when the Beit Din is taking place.
Okay.
But do you sleep exactly 8 hours every night or 2 hours every night? Do sometimes you go to sleep after midnight and sometimes before midnight? Every day has a unique energy. And you need to develop your intuition to know if you're going to utilize this. Or maybe this is just to let us know that this is Hashem's mercy. And when we merit, it happens. And we say the sacrificial offerings at the appropriate time. And other days we don't. And it's not something we need to worry about. It's not something we need to strive to do, because if we have the merit, it'll happen automatically.
Mm-hmm.
Many different ways to understand this aspect.
Okay.
It's also important that the saying of the sacrificial offerings have to be done, the wording is, with full intention and with all their hearts. But we've all attended prayer meetings where there are minions, and it's speed davening is the term that's used. They read the Hebrew so fast you can't understand it. There's no real intention behind the words except to get through them. God forbid. And then there are other people that'll take... When I first started to daven the morning prayers, the minions, the Kabbalistic minions that I would attend, read the Hebrew faster than I could. And literally, for me to read the prayers the way I needed to the slow way I read Hebrew, it would take me 6 hours to pray the morning prayers. But it was part of, I was saying every word, I was focusing my intention on each word, each verse, what was the purpose, I was trying to learn all of it. But after a while, I'd got it down to where I could do it in 2-2.5 hours. And even then, I don't say it with full intention all the time. We wake up sometimes and we don't feel like doing our actions that we know we should do. So we fake it till we make it. Verse 122. Weod be'idana diare diara motana bivne enasha kiyama itkizar wikaroza Avar al kol chela, Zishmaya de'iye alun, V'nohi biara, V'vate k'nesiot, U'vate midrashot, V'yemrun, Birut nafsha, Liba inyana diktoret, diktoret buzmin dehawo leho, the Israel dit batal motana minayhu. Elijah said to me, further, there is a signed covenant stating that when there is a plague among people, he sends forth this announcement among all the hosts of the heavens. If the humans enter the synagogues and the yeshivas on earth and recite with all their heart and all their soul the paragraph of the incense that Israel once performed, the plague will stop. My commentary. This pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. Do you know the difference between the incense and these sacrificial offerings? Questions, comments, thoughts? Nobody wants to comment?
Well, I'm seeing synagogues and yeshivas, which gives me a bunch of people, not just us on our own, you know, even as groups of, you know, study groups and all, as well as our classes. And it seemed like I read somewhere where would they send out like 40 people in different sections of the city when there was plague?
Yes, that's a story in the Talmud about I forget the circle maker.
Honey.
Well, yeah, that's Honey. the circle maker.
Yeah.
They came to him with there was a plague in the city, and he told them, send 10 people out to each corner of the city and tell them to do the incense offering as part of the minyan, and the plague stopped. But how many of us would have the certainty to do this for the earth to stop the COVID-19 plague? We see this with the way the rabbis have responded to what have they told people to do during this plague? The medical people, the scientists have said shelter in place. The rabbis have said follow the regulations that say no more than 10 people and keep 6 feet apart. Well, there's not a whole lot of synagogues that where you can have a minyan where you're 6 feet apart. And in Israel, the rabbis acquiesced, and there are no minyans. The leaders of the generation have said, do not pray in a minyan until the plague is over. When will it be over? When there's a vaccine developed. When the God of science has answered their prayers. I'm being facetious when I say that. But how many of us listen to the news and have the doctors tell us what needs to happen and how the plague works and all of these things that they're discovering about the plague? And how many of us are really aware enough to interject the consciousness into the words we're hearing? Hashem is our healer.
Well, that's our coming month. It ought to be ingrained in us. Also, whenever I studied during Passover about the plagues and saw what Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Akiva and Elazar. And then a little bit later in the week, I found that when we were doing the class, you said that the reason, or not that it was a reason, but that you mentioned that there was a difference in what each one of those three Zadokim did. Which was, you know, unity within diversity as an example. Of course, you didn't mean the only example. I happened to read something by Rabbi Berg, and Rabbi Berg said that they used the reason the numbers were different from what they found, what they had done, Eva, Buddha, and Yossi, was they used their name, their triad, from the 72 name.
Right.
And that same day, on the same page, I saw my triad name from a 72, and then mine was within Rabbi Yehuda's statement about the initials of the plagues. And So I'm wondering if that isn't something, and of course, ever since I don't know whether to call it a vision or what, when we did the first 2 days of the song, and seeing that the princes, you know, all brought the same thing, but they all had their consciousness, and that basin, you know, I looked up everything I could find on the labor, and I saw the, you know, we were supposed to be joyful, and here everybody was so depressed, or it was very depressing with what's going on with the virus, and all of a sudden I see this picture of the Baal Shem Tov playing with the ball, which
right.
was the
mind, I remember.
You know, and then he threw it to Rabbi Nachman, because Rabbi Nachman was the one who was mentioned in Nisan 1, and I didn't make that picture come in my head. That picture came in my head. And to me, the ball is getting smaller. You know, I asked who's going to throw the ball the Baal Shem Tov threw it to Rabbi Nachman. And now I can be just doing anything, all this, you know, just doing regular housework. And that will come in my head, and the ball keeps getting smaller. But I'm wondering if it wasn't a clue from Rabbi Herb during Passover that our triad name from 72 names has something to do with the plagues. And of course, the fifth plague was pestilence. I don't know if any of that made sense. It does to me. It's little puzzle pieces.
It makes sense, but it's not. Remember, I always tell you, don't believe anything I say.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to experience it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's your experience. It can't be proven to anybody else. When somebody hears you say it, and as you asked, does it make sense? To most people, it doesn't make sense because they've not experienced it. But once you've had that personal experience, you're spending the rest of your life striving to get it back. And that's the kind of things that, you know, that's what you're experiencing frequently. And you're experiencing it more frequently these days because it's part of getting closer to the Mashiach. We're running out of time, and I wanted to mention something. And Hannah and I had a discussion within Passover or just slightly after it, and I told her to look for the story of the Rabbi Akiva and the three other rabbis who went visited the upper worlds. And Hannah asked me where was that story and where could she find it. And I ran across it. It's in the writings of the Ari, in the Parasha of Kiddushin.
Okay, well, we don't have too much before we'll be there.
Right. And the title of it is Four Who Entered the Orchard.
Okay. I mean, it's a very popular story. We see it.
Yes,
you know,
it is.
Like, it's just that to be able to find one at the time that you needed it.
Of course, and that's what I'm saying. It's.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate that. I'll look for it.
Okay. So tonight at the 7 o'clock class, we have questions and answers. And tomorrow night, our 7 o'clock class is Rosh Chodesh event. And we also will be starting our Sefer Yetzirah class tomorrow at the 11 o'clock West Coast time class, the early class. And I bid you all Shalom Gadol.
Okay, thank you. Shalom Gadol.
Thank you. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you.